An assembly member from Menominee Falls tried to force a vote on a resolution to impeach Wisconsin's top election official. It's Wednesday, January 17th, and this is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, new legislative maps were drawn and submitted to the Wisconsin Supreme Court last week. A Marquette University researcher took a look at how Republicans and Democrats would have fared in their elections under the proposed maps. And Hope Kerwin will have the latest on a few bills hoping to address childhood obesity in the state. Stay with us.
You keep your finger on the pulse of regional news when you tune in to Wisconsin Today. It's your support that makes these 10 minutes of headlines with context from around the state possible. Give now at wpr.org/givewitoday.
A Republican lawmaker repeatedly attempted to gain recognition on the floor of the Wisconsin State Assembly yesterday. As Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, she was trying to force a vote on impeaching the top elections administrator.
Representative Janelle Branchon rose repeatedly to promote a resolution to impeach Wisconsin Elections Administrator Megan Wolf. GOP leadership did not respond.
All those in favor signify by saying aye. All opposed signify by saying no. The ayes have it.
The Menominee Falls Republican is a champion of debunked conspiracy theories about 2020 election fraud. That includes accusations that Wolf abetted Trump's loss in Wisconsin. Last week, a judge ruled that Wolf is in her seat lawfully. Republicans have been trying to remove Wolf from her post since the summer. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has said that he does not support Wolf staying on in her position, but he also doesn't support impeachment. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Republicans would be projected to lose seats in almost every new legislative map submitted to the Wisconsin Supreme Court as part of an ongoing redistricting lawsuit. Marquette University research fellow John Johnson compared seven sets of state assembly and Senate maps submitted by parties to an ongoing redistricting lawsuit. Johnson says he used criteria issued by the court's liberal majority that districts be compact, have boundaries that physically connect, and consider partisan impact.
There's no sort of clear winner across all of them. So the justices have some judgment calls to make about which of these criteria matter more than others.
Johnson used 2022 election results to get a sense of how Republicans and Democrats would fare under the maps. His projections show Republicans would lose seats under all new maps, except for those submitted by GOP lawmakers themselves. New legislation would require Wisconsin students to complete 180 minutes of movement every week. As Hope Kerwin reports, the bill is part of a package released by the Speaker's Task Force on Childhood Obesity.
State law already requires physical education 3 times a week for grades K through 6 and once a week for 7th and 8th grades. But Republican State Representative William Pinterman said at a press conference that the law doesn't mandate actual exercise. That's why lawmakers have proposed a new requirement to make sure K through 8 students are getting at least 3 hours of activity.
But instead of focusing sheerly on the academic section, perhaps on what is tennis, we're going to actually get our kids playing tennis and moving as much as possible.
The package on childhood obesity also includes a proposal for a statewide incentive program to help food share recipients purchase local produce. Another bill would create a $5 million grant program to support local efforts already working to reduce obesity in kids. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A Wisconsin bill aims to speed up criminal proceedings when a victim or witness is over the age of 60. It says judges have a duty to consider that elderly status when weighing motions to delay a case, and it would allow an elderly witness to record testimony to be used as evidence in a potential future trial. That testimony would still need to happen with the defendant present and with cross-examination. But Adam Plotkin of the State Public Defender's Office says pre-recorded evidence is no substitute for in-person testimony before a jury.
It limits the ability for the jury or the trier of fact to see and hear other context and nonverbal cues by the witnesses or others in the courtroom.
Similar legislation passed the Wisconsin Senate last session, but never cleared the assembly. Coming up in today's episode of Wisconsin Life, one writer reflects on watching her kids grow up. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust. conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Sarah Hopeful with a reflection on parenthood.
The quiet, snowy days of winter have a way of compelling us to reflect on our lives. For writer Jill Sisson-Quinn, a sledding excursion in central Wisconsin with her son teaches a bittersweet lesson of growing and letting go.
For a state mostly flattened by a glacier, finding a good sled hill can be a problem. My son and I can walk through the cornfield behind our house to a gentle slope, or drive to Nelsonville, where a steep hill descends to a refurbished playground. Soon enough, the walkable hill loses its luster, and my son prefers Nelsonville for more thrills. Then, he wants to sled with friends, not me. He's still too young to just drop off, so I'm often stuck there as the chilly chauffeur, where, watching them, I must throw caution to the wind and let kids be kids. Each time we arrive, my son scans the hill for school friends. One day, some middle school boys he doesn't recognize sit in a circle mid-hill around their snowboards. My son, a second grader, is taller than some of them. We trek up the hill, and one of the boys nods at my son's snowboard and says in greeting, "What's your best trick?" "Jump turn," my son replies, without missing a beat. I imagine he's making this phrase up, and I doubt he can do it because he spent only 2 days practicing with the snowboard on a frozen snowdrift in the yard. But he answers with such definitiveness, the older boy seems convinced, and we walk by, having gained entry to use the hill, it seems. My son would rather watch the older boys than use his board. I sit in the cold snow, feeling like I'm at a party I wasn't invited to. Odd after so many years of that symbiotic relationship one has with infant and toddler-aged children. I notice the boys, my son included, gathering at a picnic table near the playground. After some struggle, they manage to pull it several yards so the top of the table is flush with the lip of a snow ramp they have previously built at the hill's bottom. My initial thought is to march over and say, put that table back where it was. After all, I'm the only adult around. Someone's going to break their neck. Isn't it my responsibility to put a stop to this? But another part of me knows that soon enough I'll be dropping my son off at this hill and leaving like the parents of these older kids. I won't always be around, won't know what's going on. And isn't it their responsibility to challenge themselves, to try new things, to know when not to? I look around, half hoping a window will go up in one of the houses and a parent will start yelling. But the homes are shut tight against the cold. The boys and I seem to be the only people on this frozen planet. I make a quick decision not to say anything, fully aware it may be the wrong one. I watch the group walk to the top of the hill and get on their boards. At first, they glide down and go to the right or left of the ramp, checking things out, except for my son, who continues as spectator. Then, one boy goes all the way down the hill, up the ramp, across the table, and lands deftly on his feet. A few others follow. No one wipes out. It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. The formulation of an idea, the cooperation to create the challenge, the initial caution, and the pure and easy athleticism of the body when all it is doing is growing and growing and growing. I think about my son's entry into this world of tricks, of cooperation and competition, of finding his place amongst peers. I feel moored by both his confidence and caution. Still, I breathe in a long, slow breath, one I may not exhale for many years.
Jill Sisson-Quinn is a writer who lives in Scandinavia, Wisconsin. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities.
Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Sarah Hopeful.
And that'll do it for this Wednesday. Thank you so much for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Mallory Chang and John Davis. Big thanks to them as well. As always, if you hit subscribe, we'll automatically be in your podcast feed every single weekday morning. Until then, have a great rest of your Wednesday. We'll talk to you again soon.